Welcome back to the Realm of Daconia. This is the legend that was born, the myth that was made, and the adventure that became common as commoners. I'm your Dungeon Master, Andy. Hi, everybody. I'm taking a small break from my paternity leave to come do another recap session, and this one is for Arc 2, which is, I guess, effectively dubbed the Port Zelver or Simic Combine arc. I haven't really decided yet. I'm thinking maybe Simic Combine. This starts with session 13 and goes until session 20, it looks like. And today, I'm sure you heard his little giggle. I have my older brother Sam, who plays Demezio and is the avid note taker of the group.
Hey guys, Sam coming back as Sam, not Demezio.
Demezio. Hey, all right.
I'm going to have to work on his voice again. It's been a while.
I know you got to get that.
Demezio Donato.
Yeah, the accentuated, like, Italian heavy mobster accent.
Yeah.
So
playing him again. Let me go back.
It's going to be weird DMing again when we go back. Anyway, session 13. This picks up right where we left off on session 12 with the tail end of the feast and a carriage coming barging in to the town center of Solura, where we had some friends come back. This was the Stampede Brigade that the party had helped. Mainly, we have Barry, Trollgar, and two other members. Dempsey. What was that?
Dempsey.
Yep, and Dempsey.
Jokpak,
yep. And the issue there was Jokpak. The Stampede Brigade was looking for Cajole, who is the leader of the temple, or like the high priest of the Temple of Nyx.
And because here they come in and say, "Where is Cajole?" And Aldous replies, "Where's my dagger?"
That's right. I forgot about that.
Because you can't borrow it.
The problem being that Jokpak was going under Ceramorphosis. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with that, that is the process of becoming a mind flayer. So Jokpak was currently becoming a tentacle boy and all that Cthulhu goodness. And correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, but after Cajole failed to try and change him back, he asked you guys for help, right? With getting a gland of a basilisk or something like that to like freeze the tadpole in Jokpak's mind.
So it says that we went to Frosty Tips. Dempsey and Aldous go back to the manor, read books on mind flayers, learn that Jokpak is going through Ceramorphosis. Normally changes take a day or two, but it's already been 3 weeks. Back at the Frosty Tips with Barry. Let's see. Oh, Avis was the name of a blue female with red lines that cared for prisoners in the mine. We learned it's Aldous' sister. Let's see. Cajole summoned back to Temple of Nyx, where Cajole says he has no idea how Jokpak is still alive and has tried everything with no luck. Only thing left to do is to try to use a basilisk eye.
Basilisk gland or a basilisk eye?
It says basilisk's eyes. But.
Huh. My notes say a petrifying gland of a basilisk. There is something missing here.
Either I said eye. Behind the eye?
Sure, let's go with that. Why not?
Well, I remember we did have to surgically remove their eyes.
Yeah, I do remember that piece. Too.
But then so this, I also have in here, this is where I got my double-bladed scimitar.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Double-bladed scimitar in Voidstone. I always had the double-bladed scimitar, but this is where I got the special one with the Voidstone energy.
Yep, I forget what the original name of it was.
Ropa Vier.
Yeah, it was some elfish name. Yeah, you conscripted Andre to use the Voidstone that you stole from the mine to basically forge a blade for you. And it was a trick weapon with magic properties. Excuse me. And the trick property was that it became two scimitars or it became a double-bladed scimitar.
We're camping out After all this, we leave the town, we go camping out, and then Finn meets the vampire who he scammed from Victor's Secrets.
I wasn't there yet.
Sorry.
That's okay. So yeah, Cajole asks you guys to find the Basilisk thing, and you guys go to Craven, captain of the town guard, and get a bounty for a Basilisk then. I don't know if you remember that.
900 gold.
Yep.
I have it written down.
So you guys went to... What?
I said my all in my notes. I have it all written down.
So, but yes. You guys travel on the road to Stellaris, and because that's where the Basilisk then was. And for my older... My players from my old game, they will recognize it as Gnome Depot, which was a town from one of my old games that Rob had named because he was a gnome in that game and he wanted to come from a city of gnomes. And I said, well, what do you want to name it? And he said Gnome Depot. And except this version of Gnome Depot was abandoned. It basically looked like Medusa's, I don't know, statue garden with all the shit that was around. And this is where you had your Basilisk encounter. And that's where we get the title, Do You Avert Your Gaze, for session, I think it was session 13.
Yeah, it was. You said, I want to go through and have a count of how many times you said that in that episode.
I should have done my homework. I should have counted it. Total. Well, it was every time you guys said, I attack, I'm like, do you avert your gaze? Because that matters. That really matters. But yeah, you guys... Easily, well, I shouldn't say easily. You guys swept through with the help of George and I think it was George, Phantasmo, Aldous, and Demezio at this time, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I don't think...
Wait, Trollgar was with us? Or did you see that already?
Was Trollgar? Yeah, Trollgar was with you guys.
I have it. Yep. So as far as my notes for the battle, you want me to say it?
Sure.
It just says, fight three Basilisks, kill two small ones. Large one knocks Trollgar and Demezio out. Aldous half turned to stone and prone, killed it, and knocked it over into Trollgar.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Aldous's bottom half was turned to stone.
Yep. Yep. Poor Aldous has been through so much trauma. Even up until this point.
Yeah.
So... After that, you guys head back, get your reward. You help stop the Seramorphosis, not reverse it, but stop it. So Jockpack is still, he's like part Mind Flayer. You guys then set out for Stellaris so that Aldous could receive his payment from your father, who paid to have your bodyguard, Aldous, travel with you. Before you leave, though, a letter does arrive from Aldous's father to Julian's Manor. This one is saying, this one is informing Aldous of his sister's, Avis, acceptance to the College of Snow's Reach on a grant from the Empire. It mentions how soldiers came by to present Avis with the award letter. She departed immediately with the soldiers, but asked me to write to you as the journey to Snow's Reach is a long one. It also notes, he also says, son, I hope you find what you are looking for in that savage country, and I hope that you return home soon. I know how you feel about your mother, but both of us miss you and want nothing but your safe return to the safety of the Empire. So this is kind of where, like, Aldous starts having some, like, disassociative things going on. Like, he knows that that was his sister in the cave, but he doesn't want to believe it. And this letter kind of, like...
He hasn't seen her like that, yeah.
Yeah, and this letter kind of is like, it can't be my sister. My sister's at Snow's Reach. Little does he know, she's not. Which, you know, maybe one day you can inquire about what happened and how she... went from going to a college to being a Simic hybrid, but no one's asked her yet. So
trauma,
huh?
It's not the time.
Yeah. Right. Well, maybe one day on the road to Windcliff in the Empire, you'll have that conversation. So you guys make it to Stellaris, and there, you run into the first introduction of the Donato family. Silvio, I forget your mother's name.
We did get chapter 3 of Julian's journal.
That's true as well, which I think chapter 3...
Let's see. Julian's the top of a mountain, trying to Nykthos, speak to a visage of his mother, goes through...
Portal, oh, yeah, that's where...
speaks to uncles and aunts, the deities.
Yep, that's the Inevitables. That's where the reveal... No,
Inevitables. I wasn't correcting you. Saying the Eldrazi is in here, too. It says Eldrazi from magic speaks in his mind.
Yep, so that was... side note, Julian's journal was a journal that I made for them to help give a little bit more backstory and connection with Julian. In chapter 3, he's introduced to his aunts and uncles because he is a Nephilim, half Nephilim, technically. And these Inevitables are essentially the ones that watch over everything to make sure no rules are broken that are like cosmic rules. And if you break them, you're fucked. Anyway, so we go through, we introduce the Inevitables, and then after that, it's revealed that there's a secret being kept in the plane of the Inevitables, a creature that they deemed the Beast. I think it was dubbed. Is sealed away in a long forgotten like part of the castle or realm that they live in. And Julian finds it, has an interaction with it, lets it escape, and one thing leads to another, and then they find out that the Inevitables are mass murderers and genocidal. But that book is in our Discord. If anyone who is interested, feel free to join the Discord and you can read the entire journal yourself. I wrote it myself when I had free time before the baby. And
you can also see all of Andy's world maps too, that he's spent countless hours designing, and it allows you to kind of get a nice little mental picture of where we are when we talk about different towns and stuff.
That's a good point too, Sam.
Highly detailed.
Sellout mode over. We're going to go back. So yes, part 3 of the journal. Anyway, we have the first introduction of the Donato family. You have Silvio, your mother's name, who escapes me. And then we met your sister's name.
Carla.
I forget. You know what it is? Your mother's name? I didn't know the first time I was describing them, so I just called her Mama Donato.
Mama.
And now it's just Mama Donato. Like, it's not Silvio or anything. I just don't remember.
Let's be honest. Italian mothers are just Mama to everybody at that point. They don't really have first names to a lot of people.
Yeah, right.
Lena,
that's right. You met Carla, Lena, Silvio. Nico was not around at that time, so you just met the three. You start to hear, you know, some stuff about your dad being a little weird, like some things that are just like put on the back burner for a hot second.
I spoke with him about me having a flash and seeing Leviticus in my dad's office.
Yep, that's another thing.
In full caps, I wrote, learned that dad was in the family.
Yep, which
that's
is true.
I learned that he was the second to the Don.
Yeah, which you found was weird, because after however many years, you never knew and he never told you. So that's kind of what I met with, like the hint of like something is amiss with your dad. But yes, he does have that in conversation with you. You find out that your father had a large part in the freeing of the Simic hybrids from the Simic Combine many years ago in Port Selvar, which is where he met Leviticus. And he brought him back to the house to, you know, kind of get him on his merry way. And this is also where we learned that the family is not all bad. And I start to play games with you. Family's not bad. Oh, but they are. Oh, but they aren't that bad.
You have to do a shakedown. But also, we rescued prisoners of war and freed them.
Try fucking explaining that one to all this.
All this, I know.
You know, I do that shit on purpose, right?
Yeah. Speaking of all this, I have some funny quotes from this episode. I think this is from when Silvio says to Aldous, thank you for being such a gentleman with Demezio. And he goes, gentleman? No. Taking care of him? Yes. And another one from some other point goes, when all else fails, I won't. That's what Aldous said.
I love it. Yeah. Rob and his quotes. You never get tired of them. My book
is full of Rob quotes. Well, Aldous quotes, we'll say.
And talking about a shakedown, you end up in session 15, are given the enforcement detail, and you go to Simon's place. This is your first introduction to Phantasmo's backstory.
I completely forgot that that was who I shook down. I forgot all about that.
You shook down.
I shook down and got shaken back.
But yeah, that was the first introduction of Simon. And really had Finn like, what the fuck is going on? Because as far as he knew, Simon was dead.
Yeah.
But this is where forgetful Andy forgot that Anthony told me he was dead. And I had to come up with something on the fly.
Oh my God, really? That's hilarious.
Completely forgot. That. Completely fucking forgot. But it's turned out amazing so far. Like, I thought, like, I never would have been able to have the story at the point where right now where it's like he's like a father figure, and on top of that he's like he's grooming him, yes, but also like Simon is like literally giving his life force and his powers to Phantasmo, which was talked about in the last session that I DM'd.
It's almost like, weird like father figure successor / Stockholm syndrome.
It's his ward. Like, essentially a ward.
Yeah. This whole time we thought that George was the true, what the hell was the word that he used for him? That Aldous used for George. His squire.
Oh, yeah, right?
This whole time we thought George was the true squire. No, it's actually Finn.
It's actually that little boy with his penguin. So, yeah, you go to, I forget what the name, I think it's the Lustful Tear. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it's a strip. Simon owns and operates a strip club named the Lustful Tear.
Yep, and
he owed $500 or 500 gold.
Yep, and he paid you, I think. I think you got him to pay you somehow. I don't remember what it was specifically, but I remember him giving you the money.
So, I wrote on here, a small chapter of Boros Legion trying to bring law to the Pauper District. I speak to Simon. I get him to give me 500 gold, but he states he wants the spot in the Central District for future payments. And then in all caps, I have Simon is undead.
Mm-hmm. I think I also said him freezing whiskey. I think I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, he did. And I was like, I thought alcohol doesn't freeze. And you were like, you're correct. Like, oh, shit.
It's cold.
That's cold.
That's icy chill. Let's see. So that was an interesting thing. After that, this is where
Finn makes sacrifices. Aldous and George dance on stage.
That's where Aldous got the black magic thing from.
Yes. They then went to a Kimio, which is a tattoo parlor, and he got the tattoo of black magic.
That was hilarious. That was an hilarious day. So after that, you return back, and Silvio informs you of the Boros Legion's plans to assassinate Don Paduano. He strictly tells you just to find the base in the Pauper District and see what you can learn. I think this is session 16, which I think we titled Lucky's Misfortune, where you do a little bit of shopping with Lucky, who you find out later is part of the family, who is like supported and protected by the family and gives you deals. He was the poison Tabaxi. Like, he had all the poisons and everything that all the shields that what's his name bought. Aldous, do you remember that?
Yep. Wait, so in my notes I have rumors that someone from within the Boros Legion is trying to overthrow Don Paduano, Nico, which I'm guessing that's who.
Yeah, that's someone
from within
the
Boros Legion is, yeah, and it's Nico's trying to overthrow him, and it says told that I need to take care of him. Who told me I need to take care of him?
Silvio.
Oh, okay.
So now do you start to see some discrepancies? Well,
yes.
I'll get to that in a second.
Because I feel like I remember that being weird. Like, why would my own father tell me to take care of my brother?
Right.
Because it's not my father.
But also, Nico tells you that he was hired by Don Paduano to investigate your father. Do you remember that?
Right. Yes. Yes.
So the more things are starting to click into place that your dad is not who he says he is.
Yeah.
So you find a base, and it is, I forget the name of the place, but it's essentially like a fighting ring.
I have that written down somewhere. Forked Tongue Bar.
Forked Tongue Bar.
The owner is an orange tiefling named Urzer.
Nope. Tells that's me to not go to,
oh, Strong Arm Arena.
That's it. Strong Arm Arena.
Just Strong Arm Arena. Arena. So I see the big black Leonin named Rexenbold.
Mm-hmm. I think this is your first interaction with Nico and Aldous and George meet Nico while you hide in the corner waiting for them to be done.
Wait.
And then you use the Leaf of Farts.
Yes, I use the Leaf of Farts to escape. I was invisible.
That's what it was. And you were like, oh my God, Aldous is my brother is talking to my adopted brother. Like, what's going on here? Something's going
to
happen.
Aldous speaks to Nico, says he's looking for Demezio and is staying at the Donatos. Like, panic sets in. What?
Complete panic. That's right. I remember that. Let's see. Once you find the place, you then go back and report to Silvio, who sends you off to Port Zelver.
To help with the Simic Combine.
Yep, to help with the Simic Combine because he got a letter from Leviticus saying that something's going on back in Port Zelver.
So if he wasn't really my father, why would he want to do that? Why would he want me to help?
To keep up appearances.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there was some other weird shit going on.
No. Totally just to keep up appearances. Like,
oh, is it Port Frost? Wait, what, Port Frostwind? Is that where we're Port at right Zelver. Now?
Port. So
in the game right now with Finn.
That's Storm's Hold.
Storm's Hold. And that's where my dad's being held.
Yes.
The real dad. Okay.
Yes. So, anywho, you're sent off to Port Zelver to deal with this and to help Leviticus. And this is where the magic happens. You find, after a quick stop to a hot tub spa for George, you meet someone named Bell. And you have a very interesting conversation with him as a lich. And you do all in your power to keep all this out of it for the first time there. After that, you find the Combine warehouse with the help of Leviticus. And it starts this massive dungeon that sprawls. It's like super sci-fi. Like, I definitely took inspiration from Alien Isolation for some of it, with like the fog on the bottom, lights flickering. You fought some crazy ass things. You fought some weirds. So I think it was a blister coil weird and a Glavitance weird or something like that. It's the electric one from Ravnica, whatever that's called. People smarter than me can look it up in the book. And then it leads into a small office with a bunch of beakers. This is where you find the sample of some strange thing that Leviticus took and nobody ever asked him about later on. But you did find some information about what it was, some kind of weird element. And I think this is also where you unlock the next chapter of the book, right? Or was it a little later?
Oh, it was let's see. Session 20. So we went. That's where we get the chapter 4, session 20.
Okay, gotcha. So
Project KC-3 is the big bad I'm sensing. That's Crassus Category 3. That's I use my sense evil. Oh, Dr. Igneal is in charge of this place.
Yep.
And I underneath it, I wrote head in a jar.
Yep. Like
Grek
Futurama.
Is a goblin. Grek is a goblin who carries him along. Aldous takes off running down the cavern in a fury of anger. He finds a Simic lab and body forge.
Well, that was so that was after he met Avis there.
Yes.
So we're gonna
So I'm ahead of
So we're gonna back up just a slight bit. So while Leviticus and George are investigating the office space, I think it was definitely Aldous, and I think was it you? Somebody.
I went in. Well, I went into that room with somebody and saw Avis in there or Talasha.
I think it was Aldous.
Yeah,
it was Avis being controlled by Talasha.
Okay.
So that started a huge breakout because that was the thing with that room. It was small and narrow, and that's where that was like the disposal unit. So all like the
things were in cages.
Yeah, there was a bunch of weird things in cages that had like this was like a major advanced stage of like void stone poison for some of these things, and this was basically what they fed the stage 3 Crassus at the bottom or KC3. You guys had this fight. You're getting knocked up against cages. You're getting clawed by these things.
She whipped my ass.
Yep. And you guys were able to break the mind control on her, which snapped her back to reality and basically had – there was a huge mental breakdown with Aldous and Avis, and Avis calling Aldous a monster and Aldous calling Avis a monster. And it was a really good – I thought it was a good scene. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching him squirm. So after that, that is when Aldous stomps down, finds a whole bunch of scientific-y things, pods.
Go ahead. I just was going to say, I thought for sure that was going to be another Rob decision that killed his character. He takes off running by himself.
I know, right? Well, luckily I had everything planned, so you guys were good. So you come across pods for storage. You come across a lab that has it basically like out of X-Men Origins Wolverine, like that lab that created him. Like you're essentially seeing things like that. I think Leviticus is with you and he explains that this is like the Simic hybrid lab where they create him, like things like him and Avis. Past that, you find a robotics lab with a bunch of random robotic parts and a giant cast mold for a robotic suit. Just didn't have a head.
Wasn't it like Krang from TMNT?
Kind of what you were thinking. Yeah, kind of. Except instead of like the body being like the belly, it's the head that's missing. After that, you find your way through to an elevator that takes you down to the final stages. When you go down, you see giant eggs that are like scattered across the elevator room that are like glowing the void poison colors. And it's like you're getting a very bad vibe from this. You go across this giant like cesspool down below on a catwalk, and you then come to the final boss arena, which is essentially. The way I look at it is like a sewer system, like where it opens up and like all the water flows to. Like that's kind of how I pictured it with a catwalk over top. And you're introduced to Dr. Igneal and Grek as the first stage of the boss fight. And you fight both of them when you get Dr. Igneal down to zero. The second stage was triggered. And what triggers my mind, Dr. Igneal basically took over the KC3, the giant stage 3 Crassus, which was a Kraken. It started this huge fight, but I remember right before it started, like in the change, Dr. Igneal was like, his head was like injected into the head of the Crassus, and he got like real close and said, "How do you like me now?" And then I just remember Logan looking over at me and said, "Really? You're going to Resident Evil this thing?" I'm like, "Damn it, Logan. Like, why'd you have to put that in my head?" But yeah, that was a really cool boss fight. I liked it. That was the one boss fight that you guys ran away from. Yes. And you actually, I think the only reason you managed to escape is because Phantasmo rolled a natural 20 on his plea to, what's his name? Lachny. And was able to freeze the tentacles in place to give you guys some time because the whole thing was just coming down as these tentacles were going all over the place.
Should we have killed that thing? Or could we have killed it? Or was that one of those things where like your best choice was to flee?
Let me look.
Because I remember like one of us, I think I want to say it was Rob. was like, we're staying here and killing this thing. And all of us were like, dude, we are going to die. We need to make a decision and go.
A Crassus Category 3, unchanged, is a CR of 16.
Woo, and we were, what, like 3?
I think you guys were 5 at that point. So it's a CR 16, and I modified it to be a little bit more difficult. So, yeah.
So we should have ran. We did. Yeah. We made the right choice. Okay.
Made the right call, and then you decided to drop the house on him and probably kill the Crassus. But not before Phantasmo, like I said, got help from Lachni. He basically summoned like Hanzo from Overwatch, his ultimate with the two dragons that spin. Basically that, except it was two giant like spider or like centipede things that just like froze everything and then killed the rest of the remaining like Crassus eggs down on that level. You guys escaped as everything was crashing below you and you were able to get out. But you did have one casualty during that fight. As you guys were about to leave, Logan's character, George, took a stinger to the chest, I think. And that injected void poison into him, knocking him out and rendering him unconscious. This is where you
I think was because Logan had to leave early that day.
Yeah, that was Logan's. Yeah, Logan had to leave early and it wound up being like his last session. So, essentially.
No, he played again. That was just his.
Oh, right? I think you're right.
He played again. That was just what we used for the beginning of the end.
Yeah, for Logan, as he left and got.
As for George.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he had life come up, which is fine. It is what it is. Let's see. Oh, also something of important to note. While in this place, you did find a letter to the doctor dated 1 year prior, or like a couple months prior to the start of the game. And it says, good doctor, I find myself concerned about the status of the project and your capabilities to deliver on your end of our agreement. Your request for another extension was denied. Lady Talasha has far exceeded her deadline with outstanding results, despite the fact of troublesome adventurers. I have asked Lady Talasha to aid you in your venture, as she has proven more capable than you and your minion. She and her associate should be arriving within the next few days. Play nice, Dr. Igneal. I would hate to hear of yet another failure because of you. I expect a better status report next month. And it's signed A. Do you have any idea who this was from now?
Agony.
Yep. The clues were always there.
Yes. And we all were like, it's from Avis. No. Aldous sent this message.
I remember that.
Aldous is the bad guy.
So after escaping, you guys do head back and you find Bell, who was a lich. He was a trader of information trapped in his own pocket dimension that he had set up at a shop. Bell told you guys that
Bell grew up in the Empire.
Yeah. A long time ago.
Castlemore.
And, you find out that George doesn't have much longer to live. This is the 6 month timeline, and what drove you to Nylea's Forest is he told you to look for Hymenseer, the only person who could stop and cure George's void poison.
He was that was the thread that we pulled and pulled and pulled.
Yep. And then it proceeded to take you about 7 sessions to get to the fucking forest.
Yeah.
But that
detour. As that George is dying, detour.
Yeah, right. That is a story. Well, we go 6 months. That's a story for next recap. Let me just double check. I didn't hear anything or miss anything.
I have in here that Bell learned Mezio's name.
Yes.
And I think I remember him wanting to talk to me, but I was very nope about it.
He was very intrigued by you.
Yeah, so I'll have to go back and see him, though.
And I'm sure, I think he was also very intrigued with Phantasmo. If I recall, he was oh so very intrigued. You know, I just realized we never talked about the vampire. We're going to we'll get back to that in a minute. We'll get back to it. We're going to finish up with session 20. So.
We teleported back to Stellaris.
Yep. You teleport back.
So talked to Silvio, and told him what happened.
Yeah. And you have a meal fit for kings. Carla and Mama Donato reminisce about how important dinners used to be to the Donato home and how they missed the days of the that the five of them would laugh together around the table, including Nico and your parents. Carla brings up an embarrassing story about Demezio with a food fight and Nico, and then Nico playing a prank on Demezio by putting a fresh baked cookie in his chair, making it look like Demezio pooped himself. And then it starts talking about after dinner, Demezio had a conversation with Mama Donato, and you help clean the kitchen. And she seems a little bit like something's on her mind. You talk to her and you find out that your dad has been a little bit more like
distant
here.
I have written down, yeah.
Yep. And, she mentions that she thinks that Finn has the hots for her and that that's completely inappropriate because she's a loving and loyal wife, but remarks that Silvio has been distant, and quickly dismisses the thought of like cheating. At the end of that day, you are the last one up to bed. As you pass Silvio's office, you hear a voice. I know you what you are, monster. What did you do to him? And then you hear another voice, your father, say, "My dear boy, I have no problem. I have no idea what you mean." The first voice comes back. "Stop it, or I swear to God, I will slit your throat without hesitation." This is where you peek in and see your brother Nico having a nice knife to your father Silvio. And then the final breadcrumb was laid.
I threw my dagger at and hit Nico. Nico fled, and Demezio went to follow him with glowing eyes. Silvio stopped him, seemingly unfazed by the glowing eyes. That's what I wrote.
Yep. And that was the end of Arc 2. And Arc 3 begins with the whole Nico fiasco. and then ends with Nylea's Forest. So, to recap on the vampire that we talked about on the first time you rode to Stellaris, Phantasmo had made a horrible deal that he thought he could get away with, but he did not realize that
who he was screwing over.
Yeah, he made a bad decision. I forget what it was specifically. I remember. There was a contract that he was signing with Roy
Victor's
and
Secrets.
Yeah, what was it?
At Victor's Secrets. Secrets with
Yeah, Victor's Secrets.
It was for stuff to get his bar off the ground. It was like the party lights, magic item, fog machine, something like that.
And he signed a contract with fake ink that was designed to disappear. Well, what he didn't realize is
it disappeared.
It disappeared. And who did he piss off? A fucking vampire. Not just any vampire. A very scary, possibly more powerful than your average vampire. I'm not going to say much because not much has been given away about that. But he had a visit at night. And none of the other party members saw it originally. And I think it scared the shit out of Anthony. I'm not going to lie. Because that thing was fucking scary.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Scared the shit out of me. That's for sure. I was like, dude, you better freaking sign this or we're all going to die.
Yep. Because afterwards, I think you guys all got up and saw it later on or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, I remember that was a good arc. I liked that one. I definitely highly recommend you go back and listen to the Tentacles episode. Because that was the final boss fight, and I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. But so Sam, now that we're reviewing stuff and going back, did anything stick out to you? Like, did you forget something, and then like some things like clicked?
Let me see. Well, the whole thing about Nico being hired by the Don to investigate mm-hmm. my father, and then my father saying that I thought it was weird then when my father told me that I had to take care of my brother. Because, like, no matter how shitty your son is going to be, you're not going to want your other son to go do your dirty work and kill. You're not going to want your son to kill your other son. Right. You're not even going to want the shitty son to be dead, period. So I thought that was super weird. But it makes sense now.
Not knowing what we know, that he was a doppelganger this whole time.
Yeah. It's weird looking back at Simon, because I went in there and tried to intimidate him, and he probably was laughing internally.
Yes, he was.
I am very lucky that I did not do my usual, well, fine, let's fight it. Fight for it, then. Like, I'm very glad I did not fuck that shit up.
I definitely remember you about to go that route, and then, like, Lachny making his presence known. Like, I remember
detailing. Yeah, I could see Lachny's face behind him in the wall or something like that.
Yeah, like, it was like a over, like
this
like
is not an presence. Ordinary businessman.
And I remember that, and I was like, this has got to get him off. And then I just threw in, like, the frozen whiskey, just, like, as, like, a cherry on top. Like, there's no way he takes this bait. Like, there's no way he sits there and says, I want to fight this man after seeing these two things.
That was very difficult for me to do because, like, in my head, Demasio is, like, this kind of, like, arrogant, like, I can take you. I'm fine. I'll take anyone on. I can do it. Because, like, his family was wealthy. He was taken in by the mob. You know, he's doing jobs for the mob. He's not used to losing, essentially. And it's been tough for him to have these, like, epiphanies of, like, outside of Stellaris, there are things and people that are stronger and better than you are. Like, you go from being a big fish in a small pond to being a small fish in a big pond.
Right, exactly. And it was definitely things out there that I think I've done a good job of fucking with Demasio a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I feel like you and Rob have definitely gotten the most of the brunt, but I feel like Anthony's bat is fresh and ready to go.
I can't wait for it to be his turn.
Well, it's already his turn. He just figured out, like, well, he figured out a lot. He figured out, I don't know if he picked up on it, but basically I told him that Simon forced his dad and his mom to leave and basically give, like, let...
turn over their firstborn?
essentially, yeah. So he finds out that his father figure, firstly, his father and his mother are an angel and a demon. So he's a Nephilim. Secondly, he finds out that his, like, pseudo-father basically, like, threatened his way into being his life just to groom him. And now he's finding out that this pseudo father is dying to make him stronger. And
like, love, hate. I love him, but I hate him for what he's done.
Exactly. And
he's also the only thing I've got.
On top of all of that, Simon's basically dying wish is to have Phantasmo end the cycle and kill Lachny. Like, that is
the amount of pressure on his shoulders,
right? Like, that, well, not, I shouldn't say kill Lachny, but, like, stop the cycle, like, break the cycle. Like, that's essentially what it is. And
have the balls to do what I did not.
I know. So I'm like, I've been waiting for this all game. I'm so excited. between that and the agony reveal, I was like, oh, I'm so ready.
So another thing that I was just looking through and kind of like realized, but it's not like an epiphany or nothing like that, but, like, I remember Aldous asking Bell if he knew the name of the Emperor, and he said yes,
but he did not give it up
because he wanted something in return, and Aldous wasn't interested. I don't remember what it was, but and then now, like, that I see, like, he grew up in the Empire a long, long time ago, and then he told us to go to Hyden Sears Grove. Like, Bell is a bigger deal than I feel like we thought that he was initially, now that we see all this.
Oh, you mean, like, as far as importance of a character?
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely a pillar that you could lean on more often, but...
Like, I feel like he's, like, originally we felt like he was just, like, a weird shopkeep that also was a demi-lich, but that sounds stupid when I say it like that. Oh, he's just an NPC that also happens to be a demi-lich. He's not that important. I'm like, well, yeah, he's a fucking demi lich. Of course, he's important. Like, but you know, at the time, it just seems like he's just a cool personality full NPC.
So I'm gonna be completely upfront with you. I made Bell solely because I thought it was an interesting idea. I was like, I want a demi lich as a shopkeep. Like, that sounds interesting. Like, I also recently, like, when that happened, I had recently bought a thing called Cursed Classes. It's like a PDF made on DM's Guild for anyone interested. Go check it out on DM's Guild. It is fantastic. They have fantastic things like were people. So anything from a were bat to a werewolf to a were crocodile. Really cool. They have Flora Spawn. They have, I think it's called Flora Spawn.
They have a martyr class?
No, that's Valda's Spires of Secrets, which is another amazing supplement book done by Mage Hand Press, which I would also highly recommend.
They have vampire and mummy as a race.
They have vampires, but not mummies. Mummies.
I'm making all this stuff up.
It's okay. So I'm in the process of making a mummy class. I was while I was in the hospital, and then Rue got here, and he's a little shithead. I love him, but he can be a shithead. And it's gotten very difficult to find time to, like, set aside to solely dedicate to work on it. So, I wanted to release it, and I'm like, it's not in a state where it really can. And I keep going back and forth with it, but that's a different story. But, so anyway, I was like, this is really cool. Like, now my players can be liches. Like, this is really cool. And I'm like, but they're going to think all liches are bad.
Thank God GM doesn't know that.
Yeah, right? They're going to think, like, liches are bad. Like, how do I fix this? Like, what do I do? And I was like, well, I could have a demi-lich be a shopkeep. What would he be a shopkeep for? Information?
Information.
Like, he probably, just to, like, soothe the people, has a pocket dimension, right? Because people wouldn't trust a demi-lich if he was actually residing in the town. So he probably pays taxes or something. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
He pays my taxes with information.
Right. So I that's what I did. I straight up was like, well, he's just an interesting character. And well, yeah, he's definitely, he has the potential to become a very important NPC for you guys. And I think I made it that way because I didn't know how you would take it. So
I like it. I think that's the coolest shopkeep that we've ever seen. Scariest, but coolest.
I mean, really? Like more than like Andre had and Spanky and Beefy.
Yeah, those are cool. However, I think he is the least likely person that I would want to steal from.
Yeah. And Phantasmo tried.
Yes, he did. But I feel like you know what? I say the coolest because he's the biggest mystery.
Yeah.
He intrigues me the most. Because, like, Spanky's cool. I like Spanky. I feel like we're buddies. He helped us win a fight.
And he walks around naked.
And he walks around with no pants on and no shirt, just an apron. But at the end of the day, like, there's just something, it's mysterious, you know, with Belle. Like, you know, like how women love a nice, mysterious bad boy, you know? I guess I'm a simp for that, too, apparently.
We all enjoy a good mystery, but who knows? Maybe in the future, if you guys decide to go to Bell, he could probably give you some very helpful information.
Yeah.
Especially if you decide to share something that you may have learned in the Grove. Or something that may have happened in the Grove.
Oh, that's true. Ooh. Ooh, I just became wealthy of knowledge.
Point in case. So we'll see Bell again. But with that said, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this session 2 recap. I still don't know what I call it anymore. I forgot. I think I said the story so far. I think that's what it is. Hope you enjoyed the story so far for sessions 13 through 20. And stick around a little later. Well, not a little later. Stick around for Arc 3 to come out hopefully soon. But we'll be sure to let you all know when that releases. With that said, everybody, have a fantastic rest of your night. Sorry, tongue-tied. I'm tired. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm very tired. Have a good night, everybody.
Later.